Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. It's the happiest time of the year, or so they say, and some also say there is the happiest place on earth. Why is it that people like to seemingly limit happiness to a certain time of year or place? Beyond the limitation of time and place, in the modern era, happiness is linked to spending lots of money. And if they say that now is the happiest time of the year, or a place that you have visited is the happiest place on earth, that happiness could easily fade when the bills come due. Comedy is supposed to make us laugh, and while some of what is supposed to be comedy is still funny, it seems like more and more of comedy isn't funny. It's really sad when something that is supposed to bring us a moment of levity seems dark and serious. At best, comedy can bring us a moment of levity when it's funny, but happiness isn't found through comedy even when it's funny. Then there are the many escapes from reality: drugs, alcohol, video games, and virtual reality. People escape reality because they are not happy. And when it comes to abusing drugs and alcohol, or being so focused on video games and virtual reality that it becomes a major part of our life, to perpetuate the escape from reality, there is a significant problem. And we should never be using illegal drugs. Some people play video games or interact with virtual reality to the degree they become numb to the reality of the world around them. These altered states of reality cannot bring us happiness. And as it is with people who enjoy the euphoria from these, they often need more and more to achieve the same effect to escape whatever they are escaping from. And people never escape from what brings them happiness. We tend to gravitate to what makes us happy, and somehow we are gravitating away from this world to other things to find happiness. Even on social media, people find ways to escape. One way how people escape is by altering the way they look in photos. Sometimes when you see a photo on social media, it is much different than in real life. And I'm not talking about clothes and grooming. Sometimes the image on social media presents a different body type or a blemish-free visage. There are people who focus on using the right filter and adjusting their social media images, and in doing this are altering the reality of who they are because they are not happy with the body or face they have. With many, happiness seems to be linked to what can be purchased or paid for. Whatever happened to happiness that comes without a price tag? Too much of what we think brings happiness comes with a price tag, when happiness was never intended to have a price tag. Happiness is a theme we can find in the Bible, and by taking a look inside, we can see the happiness of the Bible doesn't come with a price tag. We'll start our look at happiness by considering the Queen of Sheba, who called on Solomon concerning the name of God. She came wanting to challenge Solomon and left impressed with his wisdom and wowed with all of the wealth she saw. Think of the richest country or city you've ever visited. The Queen of Sheba might think that looks poor compared to what she saw with Solomon. But she also recognized the people were happy. And all she could think with her mind is that ultimately God's hand was in that happiness she saw. 1 Kings 10, verse 1. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of God, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels and bare spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I have heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Paul claimed happiness before King Agrippa, even though he was in legal jeopardy. And Paul was happy because he would be able to defend himself from what he was accused by the Jews. Paul knew the king was well versed in all things Jewish, and in detail explained the issues at hand, finding common ground between his Christian faith and Roman beliefs. He reminded King Agrippa that for him, it shouldn't be an incredible thing to consider the resurrection of the dead, because the Romans believed in life after death, though in a different manner than we would. Let's read Acts 26, verse 1. "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God night and day, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." Paul was happy to defend himself against accusations that could lead to his death. Imagine if today we face charges that could lead to our death. Could we find happiness to defend ourselves like Paul did, or would we be unhappy? Somewhere along the way, Paul understood that even though he was blinded on the road to Damascus and encountered rough crowds and was even imprisoned and beat for preaching the gospel, that God was protecting Paul. There are many who might look at the life of Paul and wonder where God was. But for Paul, who lived the life of Paul, he was happy. And probably happy for reasons he understood of being well-versed in what we would call the Old Testament. Paul knew there was no God like God our Father who's in heaven. And as much as God brought happiness to Israel, Paul knew God would bring happiness to him as well. Paul knew that for Israel, happiness came through being saved by God. Deuteronomy 33, verse 26. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be a land of corn and wine. Also, his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. Thy shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Ecclesiastes tells us that we should find happiness in what we do and seeing what we can do as a gift from God. We are also told that people have the world set in their heart, meaning that people are focused on the here and now and not what is eternal. All people can find happiness through what they do, though the reality is the world in which we live doesn't change much, and it remains a place where evil prevails. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 10. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know there is no good in them, but for man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. Wickedness and iniquity are found throughout this world. Even in those things that many people think of as righteous, knowing we all have a finite physical life to live. With this physical finality awaiting each of us, Ecclesiastes again reminds us to rejoice in what we do now. Verse 16. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts, even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other, yea, they have all breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go into one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than a man should rejoice in his works, for that is his portion, for who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? When we reflect on what we are doing now, what is there in our own life we can rejoice over? Even if our personal life is doom and gloom, we have this hope which gives us reason to rejoice and gives us a reason who, like Paul, facing a possible punishment of death, was able to find happiness when talking with King Agrippa. We have this hope of eternal life, and the kingdom of God. And it is that hope that in the darkest of times brings us happiness. Does the hope of eternal life bring us an escape from the present realities? Of course it does. But it also grounds us in the understanding that what we hope for, we have not yet attained. And thus, we are also grounded in our present realities. Those who abuse drugs and alcohol and are consumed by video games and virtual reality seek something better for them now. In their own way, they are desperately crying out for something better for themselves. And that something better for them that they do not know, we know as the kingdom of God. For us, we have to balance living physically in this present world while we seek God's righteousness and His kingdom in which we will live in the Spirit. The Bible tells us to be patient while we wait for Jesus to return and to establish our hearts. Where are we anchored? To what is offered on this earth, or what comes through the kingdom of God? While we are waiting, Jesus tells us to not grudge against each other, knowing that we all collectively can suffer like the prophet suffered. In the face of the potential for suffering, James tells us that those who endure to the end are to be counted as happy. Imagine facing persecution and being counted as happy. This world has no need to persecute itself. When we are persecuted by this world, we are told we are counted as happy because we endure. James 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the earth and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Peter explains that when we suffer for righteousness' sake, that we are to be happy. There was this song that advocated, "Don't worry, be happy." And we are told by Peter that if we suffer for righteousness' sake, we are to be happy. Because we are followers of what is good, when people try to bring us harm, we are not to be troubled or afraid of whatever terror they bring us. Even if what they bring us results in our physical death, they will not have defeated us spiritually. In the face of people trying to bring evil to us, we do good, having a good conscience, so that they may be ashamed for what they are doing. 1 Peter 3, verse 13. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Peter shared similar thoughts in the next chapter, showing that when fiery trials come to us, we should rejoice and be happy, because as partakers in Christ's sufferings, we will rejoice when His glory is revealed. Even when others attack us for our beliefs, while evil is done by them in their attack, we glorify Jesus through what we do, never repaying evil for evil. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Paul explained to the Romans that we rejoice or find happiness in the hope of the glory of God, understanding that for the here and now, we will experience hardships in life. We live in those current hardships of life, but it is the hope of the glory of God, that hope in the kingdom of God, when Jesus returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that we find happiness. We do not seek happiness from this world, as our source of happiness comes from beyond. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Happiness is a result of faith. With faith comes happiness, and if we find ourselves lacking happiness in our life, it is time for us to examine faith within our life. The faith that we have is not a faith that gives us reason or license to judge others, nor is it a faith that gives us reason or license to trip up others, even in matters that might seem unrelated to faith, like dietary preferences. Romans 14 sets up a scenario where there is a person who eats all things and another person who only eats produce, and explains that when we interact with people who have different dietary preferences, that we should not use those differences to establish any type of superior righteousness for ourselves. Instead of focusing on those things outside of faith which makes us different, we should strive for those things which bring peace and strengthen each other. We are also reminded that faith is a private matter between each of us and God. And if we see a different practice unrelated to faith, like dietary practices of being a vegetarian or only eating organically grown foods, that we are not obliged to follow those practices just because a lot of others are doing those practices, as long as it doesn't cause us to have a problem with our conscience, nor are we to sow discord. And this will bring us to a place of happiness. Romans 14, verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Faith and resulting happiness is the result of doing what we need to do spiritually. We can never be fully happy if we know we are not doing what we are supposed to be doing. Faith is more than just belief. Faith is belief coupled with follow through. And if we want happiness, we must have that follow through. John 13, verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. For if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Happiness does not derive from doing whatever we want, and we cannot confuse being proud with happy. One can be meek and happy as much as a person can be proud and sad. But where do pride and happiness intersect with each other? What Malachi shows is that pride and happiness are like opposites. In times of wickedness, the proud are called happy, and it is the proud who set up wickedness. Malachi 3, verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, What have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, It is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Think about what we just read in Malachi and the unhappiness we see in this world. Where there is much unhappiness, there is much pride and wickedness. It should not come as a surprise to any of us that pride and wickedness lead to unhappiness. And yet we live in a world where pride is seen almost as the basis of happiness. Like Malachi, Jeremiah writes of the upside-down nature of this world and points out that it seems what brings people happiness in this world is when they deal very treacherously, taking advantage of others. Jeremiah pleaded with God to change what he saw, and the change that Jeremiah was asking for was that happiness belongs to the righteous, and surprisingly, true happiness has always belonged to the righteous, even in this present evil world. Jeremiah 12, verse 1. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn, and the herbs of every field wither, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, He shall not see our last end. We can look to the Psalms to read about happiness. Psalm 37 reminds us to not worry about those who do evil or to be jealous of those who commit sin as if they have some great advantage. Instead of wanting to be like the wicked and sinful, we are to delight ourselves in God who will reward us. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. In Matthew, Jesus tells us to lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven, meaning to be focused on spiritual rather than physical riches, reminding us that the eye is the light of the body. Jesus explained that when we act righteously, it is like light enters our body, and when we act with evil intent, it is like darkness enters our body, and that darkness is horrible. If we focus on what brings true happiness, we will be bringing light into our life. And if we focus on what this world thinks brings happiness, darkness will enter our life. The smart thing for us to do is to bring light into our life. Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? If our Father in heaven is our God in ways more than just the words we speak or write, but by how we live our life should be a life of happiness, because the promises of God reflecting eternal life gives us the hope that we have. Psalm 144, verse 9. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets. That our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Proverbs tells us that finding and keeping wisdom brings happiness. For this wisdom to bring happiness, we need the wisdom that comes from God and is not based in the ideas of mankind. Proverbs 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. Being able to laugh and have a good time is not an indication that a person has the type of happiness described in the Bible. Because just like today, thousands of years ago, it was written that a person can laugh and be sorrowful. We should not confuse laughter and happiness, because anything short of doing what God expects of us will bring us to a place devoid of happiness. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Proverbs 29, verse 18 shows that those who do what God expects of them will be happy, and those who lose sight of what God expects of them will perish, and on the way to perishing, they will be very unhappy. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Having the Holy Spirit, we should expect to be happy. Our life should have joy as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Nowhere in the fruit of the Holy Spirit is listed anything material. So looking to material wealth as a sign of a blessing makes no sense, because we are focused on what is spiritual, not what is physical. If we are living a spiritual life, there should be happiness in our life. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. When we read the passage from Malachi, we saw that pride and true happiness were like opposites. Jesus encouraged us to be poor in spirit, not lacking the Holy Spirit, but to be poor in spirit, meaning not to be proud. We are not Christians and proud of it. We are Christians and happy because of it. Let's read the Beatitudes to understand some of the many reasons we have to be happy. Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. In writing to the Gentiles at Rome, Paul reminded them that they, like all Christians, should be filled with joy and peace in believing, so that they could abound in hope. That joy and peace from believing that allows us to abound in hope is what brings us happiness. Romans 15, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you might abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul told the Philippians, and when we read the passage, what Paul wrote applies to us. To always rejoice in God and Jesus Christ, to practice a lifestyle of moderation, not excess, to not be anxious, instead using prayer to make our requests be known to God, and the peace of God will keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ, leading us to the point where we can do all things through Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. While the world looks to other things other than Jesus Christ to strengthen them and bring them happiness, by and far, the world is an unhappy place where people find happiness exploiting others through their pride or by escaping the realities of the evil around them. Happiness, true happiness, never comes through pride or exploiting others. We never find a laugh at the expense of another person. Our happiness comes through what is spiritual, focus on the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, knowing we have this incredible hope of what is to come. Also knowing we can take our request to God and is rooted in peace that comes through faith and doing what we are expected to do. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.